tell that part about, ask me the question about the quiets getting clipped.
I was giggling as you were answering.
Right. Yeah, it gets one of those questions that you get halfway through and you're like, oh no, I am going to get hammered on this.
Yeah, but I still went for it.
You got it. Once you're halfway to second base, man, you gotta go in hard.
I'm committed. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 472 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Is it Snowcouver?
Yeah, it's Coldcouver.
Yeah, Coldcouver. Oh, but it didn't get as bad as you said it was going to.
No, it did.
I thought it was going to be like minus 15 for the rest of the winter.
No, it got to in Richmond. Richmond is generally warmer than most other places in the lower mainland of Vancouver, but it got to minus 9, I think, on the day we had a snow day. So the minus, yeah. the day that was the snow day, we had a huge amount of snow for us. The rest of the country is probably laughing at us, but for Western Canada, for Vancouver, we had a lot of snow and had a snow day, but it got to minus 9 that day. It was pretty cold. Yeah, it was chilly.
The rest of Canada, you bring up an interesting point, and the rest of Canada laughs, ha 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 ha. They can go kick rocks. Okay. They have not driven in the Vancouver snow. They have not been like, oh yeah, whenever it snows in Vancouver, you guys all just freak out. I don't know why they talk like that, but that they do. And heads up, it's not the same snow.
Yeah,
first of all, it is rarely cold, like really cold in Vancouver. So when it does happen, the earth itself, the surface of the earth, like in the pavement and all that, has not been deep frozen for an extended period of time. Hence, when the snow hits, there is usually a little bit of melting happening because of that. It does not maintain the coldness as the rest of the country does.
Right. And thus, so it gets icy.
Very slippy. And generally, yeah. when it is minus 9 and below, which can happen every now and then, obviously, it tends to not snow that often when it's that cold in Richmond. It's kind of an anomaly.
Yeah, it was crazy. And the roads were horrific, right. Especially like some of the main like highway roads where it was almost comical. I missed 2 days of work this week, which is unheard of for me. Right.
Own snow tires, like proper snow tires?
No, not legitimate snow tires. I have the new tires on both vehicles and they have the Snowflake, which they're not all seasons, but they're not legitimate snow tires.
And here's the reason why, and this is why I want to fill in the listeners again on why the rest of the country can kick rocks. See, here in Germany, even though it's like 14 and sunny yesterday, you have to have like, not the full on, like giant meaty studded snow tires, not in our region anyways, up in the Alps you do, but here you have to have proper winter tires that can handle snow. You don't need to have those in let's say Richmond, for example, because it snows so rarely, it's actually more cost effective to just have everybody stay home than it is for everybody to buy snow tires for once every 4 years and have all the snow removal equipment, etc. Because there's a couple of plows in the greater Vancouver area, but not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. The side streets are disasters.
Yeah.
And I mean the reality of how it goes is that, I mean, we were out in a hockey game Sunday night. We had a hockey game in Burnaby and there was a forecast for some snow, but it was fine. And so we went into got to Burnaby. The game was great, you know, an hour of hockey, and then we came out to this unbelievable blizzard. Like it was unreal. Like I haven't seen in Vancouver since I've lived out here. And Burnaby got hit the hardest, but it was comical. There's a lot more hills in Burnaby for sure. Yeah. And the snow came so fast and so much. And of course, there was no way plows were going to get to everything. And so, I mean, I have the dash cam. I should pull the video because it's so crazy. I mean, everywhere we went was, and this is Sunday night, it looks like Monday morning traffic because nobody, like every on-ramp to every major way to get home is blocked because people are stuck. And people right. are abandoning their vehicles left, right, and center. We are crawling, like when I say crawling, like a baby could crawl faster than the speed we were moving. And our game ended at 7:30. Any guess as to what time we got home Sunday night?
Generally, in like no traffic in the summer, you're looking at from Burnaby to your house, probably 40 minutes?
At the most. On a Sunday night, 30, 35 minutes. Yeah. Like, there should be no traffic.
So you got home at 10.
We got home at quarter after 10, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I mean, part of it was a little unlucky because you kind of had to get onto the highway or one of the routes that would take you home. And every time we circled back around to try to get on, someone would get stuck going up the hill to get on the highway. And then right. we'd have to kind of do a U-turn, circle back around. And you kind of almost needed just luck to get a span of like 30 seconds where you didn't have somebody stuck on the hill. Because if you lost your momentum, then you weren't going to get there, right?
Right?
So it was pretty funny. But I mean, now it's behind me.
Just to put a button on this, because this does stick in my, it's sand in my shoe. You are an Ontario guy.
Oh yeah.
Born and raised. So you have driven in the snow in Ontario before.
Lots of snow. Yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't some, you know, rube who's never seen snow before and just panics. You know what you're doing, and it's that much mayhem on the, when it gets this crazy on the West Coast.
Yeah, and my vehicle was fine. I mean, I have a very new vehicle, and it has like it's actually good in the snow. Even the Civic, like the Pilot, is good. We were actually driving the Civic in Burnaby, and it's fine. Like the traction's fine. It's just that you still can't go anywhere because there's so many people that are stuck that are obstacles. So it doesn't matter whether you know how to drive in the snow or not. It's just you cannot physically go anywhere because there's jackknife semi-trailers and there's so many trucks. People have a misconception about, oh, I have four-wheel drive, I'm not going to get stuck. Not true. I saw so many trucks stuck along the way. And the number of ice, I think they said, like we were talking about ICBC a few weeks past, the number of calls to the ICBC claim center for the lower mainland in the last week was over 10,000.
Okay.
So I don't know how many legitimate claims. Yeah, for a week. I think that's pretty high for the lower mainland calls to deal with claim stuff. So, yeah, pretty crazy. I think in a 2-hour span, they said on just the bridges alone, there was over 100 accidents in a 2-hour span on, I think it was the day that was the snow day. So yeah, anyways, it was crazy, but I opted not to commute 2 days because I would have never got there. Not that my car couldn't make there if there was no cars on the road, just that the listening to the traffic reports in the morning and looking at my phone predicted time of arrival was like 2.5 hours to get to work. So I elected not to go. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. See, I used to, when I was living there, I used to drive a pickup truck, like with like an open back. So my move was when I would shovel the truck out of the snow, all that snow would go right in the back of the truck and just weigh it down right over those back wheels. And that would help me drive.
Gotcha.
And other fun tip for people when it is that crazy, like you're stuck and I wouldn't recommend doing this all the time. Better to have proper tires. But if you're stuck and you want to get home, another move is to let a little bit of air out of all your tires. What that does is it basically creates a little more surface area on the tire that's touching the road, and thus you get a little more gription there.
Yeah, and a lot of the new vehicles, I'm sure some of the older automatics have it too, but have like a low gear you can go to, which really helps to slow the tires down. Like the Civic has like an S, which I think stands for like second. I don't know exactly, but it's kind of a start in a in a different gear so that your tires don't spin as fast, which right. if you're starting on a hill, especially in the snow or in on the ice, really helps you. People, you see people just spinning out and digging themselves a little hole in the snow. That's bad snow driving.
It is indeed. All right.
There you go, everybody. Photo show.
If you do need some snow driving supplies, I suggest getting them on Amazon. Let Amazon do the driving. Drop them off at your house.
Sure.
That's what I recommend. If you do, click through our site. Help us out. Now, last week I told you I did order some stuff, right? I told you about that. It showed up.
I don't remember.
Okay, a couple saws. Power
saws. Oh, yeah. It was the hot saw talk.
Some hot saw talk. So I broke out the, what's it called in English? Track saw. And wow, is that thing ever awesome?
What'd you saw?
No fingers. 3 days in a row now. No fingers.
All right.
I ended up, first job was to whip together some shelves for the main hallway, the foyer, we call it in France.
Okay.
So I've been meaning to put some built-in shelves in there for quite some time. Very simple project, mostly simple. The unsimple part was they have to fit within three sides. It's kind of like a cove, like a very small cove area by the front door. Yeah. And the walls are not what you call straight. And so there's just zero chance I'm going to be able to contour these to actually fit the mess of the wall. Because it's that crappy skip trowel job they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, eventually someday I will either move or fix the skip trowel, but it's a big job, so it's not going to happen this week. But other than that, very, very, very simple. I repurposed some wood from my kid's old crib, actually, we're getting rid of. Couldn't use it anymore. It was enough. Couldn't get rid of it. And so I took a bunch of the wood and basically ripped it up on the track saw and then cut it to size on the compound miter saw. Wow, how have I lived without a compound miter saw? That's the question I ask myself. That thing is awesome.
I don't have one.
Yeah, you can get one for not very expensive. Mine was a little more expensive, but not the crazy expensive one. But it is fantastic. I'm now in love with that thing. I'm just looking for stuff to cut at this point. I'll probably cut my hair with it. Like, it's that good. But so I built those, put those together. And then I was kind of searching around on the internet thinking, you know, like, because I do want to buy a table saw. That's kind of been the thing I'll add on. And do I need one right now? The answer is yes, I do. I do need one now. So I saw one, the one I wanted, bam, on for a huge sale, big sale price, like half off. And I thought, well, this is too good to be true.
Okay.
Is it? Is it? So I just said, you know what? There's two left. And as I'm sitting there, I hit refresh, boom, one left. Somebody ordered the second to last one. I said, you know what? I'm going to jump on this. Bam, ordered it. Next day, found out it was indeed too good to be true. I'm now somehow wrapped up in this whole impeachment thing. I don't know how that worked out. Somehow, yeah, I got a knock on the door, and I got to testify. No, it was evidently it was a bit of a, I don't know if it was a scam or like we got our money back, but no saw for that price. So now I'm going to end up having to buy it full price, but totally worth it. I will end up doing that on Amazon.
Okay.
Crazy weather here. I already mentioned that.
Plus we should 14. Just have a segment that's called Saw Talk each week and get saw updates.
Yeah, we're going to.
What'd you saw? What'd you saw today?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
Exit Voku.
No, come on. We don't have time for that with all the saw chatter. Here's the thing. I don't have all the tools I need yet. I don't have them all. So I'm going to be ordering a lot more through our site on Amazon. I'll tell you that. Because okay. I'm kind of addicted. It's okay, well, what about this? Of course I need a biscuit joiner. Hey, what about a pocket hole jig? I need that. And you know what you can never have enough of, Adam?
Saws?
Saw talk. Okay. No, clamps. You need those big, long clamps to hold all your stuff together, like when you build cabinets and stuff like that. And that's the hidden cost no one tells you about.
Clamps.
Never enough clamps.
Okay.
Because the gluing. And I need to address my sawdust management down there, but I tell you, my house smells great, by the way.
Okay.
It smells like a wood shop, which is fantastic. But all kidding aside, I'm really excited to be doing this stuff. Like doing it again, I was like, oh man, I can't wait to build everything now. This is great. Until you start sanding and finishing, and that part sucks. Sanding's no fun.
That's what you get your kids to do.
Yeah, they're not. Their heart's not in it though. They're not gonna sand. This is not gonna happen. So other than that, though, very excited. And my wife did not think it was noisy so far. So I was like, that's exciting. There you
great.
Go. That's yeah. the woodwork update for this week.
Okay.
Camera has been received by Canon.
Which one?
My Mark III. I've sent it in.
Okay.
No update yet. I think it's in their queue. They haven't looked at it yet and give me an estimate, but it did make it there in the mail.
What was the over under? I can't remember. What did we say the over under was?
On what would be acceptable?
Yeah.
Like for a repair?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is reasonable or not. A couple $100 is sort of going to be, if it's under $200, I'm just going to do it and never think of it again. If it's over that, I'm probably going to do it and then think of it. And if it's way over that, I'm going to flip out.
Okay. And then do it and then think about it a lot.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I honestly don't know what. I have no idea what this kind of thing. I'm just impressed that they did get it. I was kind of
$500. It's going to be $500.
It might be. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I don't know what the part, if they need new parts or if they just need to, you know, adjust what is in there. I mean, how much is their labor going to be? I honestly don't know if there has to be some sort of trick that they're going to do, because if it's like $80, then it's a no-brainer. But if it's $500, they're going to basically put pressure on me to buy a 5D Mark IV.
Right.
And they know that. So they know that I'm going to be buying from them, although I'm not. I'm going to basically throw all my stuff off the bridge.
Okay. All right.
So the smart money is to be standing under that bridge and pick up all my lenses. That's what I would do. So, yeah, I will be unhappy if it's really that high.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. I was thinking about reaching out to them on Twitter because, you know, we have such a huge audience on the show, but we don't have, I don't have a very big Twitter presence. And so when I, you know, come at them with 14 followers are going to be pissed at Ken. And if you guys don't take care of me, you know, I don't have the Kardashian juice.
That's right.
So there's that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll keep everybody updated right after all the Saw Talk.
Okay.
Reminder, monthly challenge for January is self-portrait. And we do want to learn a little something about you in that portrait. It can be very subtle. It can be something that we have to look for. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we'll make sure to check that out beginning of February. Have you shot yours yet, Adam?
No.
Yeah, I was going to, but now I don't have a camera.
Okay.
So, although the Classic seems to be working again.
And the Fuji works.
The Fuji works, yeah. Not good for, not flattering for portraits, though, is it?
Probably not.
No. I gave the Classic a smack, and it seems to work now. So, you know, if you're listening, Canon, do that to my Mark III, and we're good. $800 for a smack.
Yeah.
So there you go. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Not really. Oh, we'll talk about it in the episode, right?
We will. We'll talk about the snow day.
Snow stuff. It was just that. That's all that was interesting in my neck of the woods. It was snow.
Okay.
So I won't talk about it because we're going to talk about it in the episode.
Okay. Well, make sure it's interesting then.
Okay. How about you?
No. I don't know. No? What about the picture of my daughter with the clarinet? That's all I could come up with.
Somewhat interesting.
Well, it was also because somewhat interesting. It's phenomenal. It'd probably be in a museum. But the No, it's tied in because last week, like we talked, like your kids played the instruments. My daughter got the clarinet. Did I tell you how she chose the clarinet of all the instruments?
No.
I told her that she would have to carry it back and forth to school, so choose wisely.
Sorry, I lied. You did tell me.
Yeah, okay, so one of the other kids who got like the tuba, was like, oh man, your dad blew that. There's no need for you to play the tuba. So she did get this. Although the only thing is, like, I think I did mention this. It weighs 0 ounces. It's made of plastic and kind of a piece of crap. So I'm not really thrilled with. I did talk about this. Let's move on. But she is. Here
window
she is
light.
Yeah, she don't. Yeah, this is kind of this crazy window light coming through, like the low sun coming through, hitting some trees out in the yard, and then creating that effect. So this is 100% just natural light, existing light. That nice golden color, et cetera, et cetera. 85 mil on the classic, and just pop that off. Got nice catch lights in her eyes. Again, that's all natural. Here she is playing. She knows the two notes, and she's just playing them back and forth.
Perfect.
Yeah, just like Beethoven did.
Yeah.
Is that the German I should have picked?
I guess so.
Okay. I think the rest are all Austrian, from what I understand. Just Beethoven.
I can't verify any of that.
Okay, so no, the answer is no, I did not shoot anything interesting.
Great.
Awesome. Photo challenge this month was freestyle, just basically because I didn't know if I'd even have a functioning camera. So like mine could have very well been with my iPhone.
Was it?
No. No. So let's just start with mine. So here's my son. I just saw some interesting light today, again, with the kind of low sun window light coming in, stuff we don't normally get, and just had him pose next to a cabinet and 5D Classic with the 85. Same setup as my daughter's photo, different day. Blammo, black and white, go.
Why black and white?
No, I just like black and white. I haven't been shooting black and white in a while. And it's fine. The cabinet's actually kind of a nice color. Like a nice warm color. And so is the light. But it just, I don't know. I just kind of wanted black and white this week. It's in my head, black and white. That was it.
Yeah, I feel I like this photo. I feel like I want the color here. But that's just my personal preference. And knowing that, well, at least thinking that this was window light, I thought, oh, this probably looks good in color. And what color is his shirt? And what color are the cabinets? And yeah, I just, the black and white here doesn't, I don't think, I haven't seen the color, but I don't think makes this better.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I'll post the color one. I'll send you, I'm not going to post the color one to you. I'll send you the color one. And you're probably not wrong.
Okay.
But the question I have about this is, why is he so sad?
I don't. Is he sad?
No, he's in real life. Stoic. He's a little bit stoic. Yeah, you're right. I was worried that he looked sad because he's definitely not sad in this picture, like in real life. But does he look sad?
I was gonna say very very stoic. It doesn't appear sad to me.
Yeah. Okay.
But maybe the eyes, maybe you see a deeper sadness that I don't see.
There's no reason. No, I do not. Like, that's the thing. I don't know what it is. But I find that when, like, he's generally a happy kid, so much so that if I'm having him pose, because this is a situation, like a place in our house where he would not ever just be naturally. He would never be leaning up against the stereo cabinet. And so I can't catch him in a sort of a fun little candid moment here. It's never going to happen.
Right.
So the second I pose him there, he is super aware of the camera and he tries to do a big giant smile and it's over the top, which is, it's fine. It's very nice, but we have a lot of those. And so I said, hey man, just be you. And he just dials it right back. And now, then he's like, oh, what am I, mopey? I don't know. And, Okay. Well, we'll work on his look, but I like the lighting a lot in this. Nose could have been sharper.
Right. Okay.
That's all.
The eyes look pretty sharp.
The eyes look very sharp. That's where I'm focused. Again, nice little little catch light from the it's like the floor to ceiling windows with a little break in the middle. That's why you can see like the double catch light in his mm-hmm. eyes.
Yeah.
It's definitely a spot I want to shoot again, you know, when that light happens. So mark down when that was and time of the day and look for it. That's my plan.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at yours. This is the one.
Gary Point, yeah, it was a little too cloudy, and so this was right at the right time. I went, my kids were out of school, and it was super cold, and this was Tuesday. Basically, I thought, I don't know, because the weather forecasts were all over the map and there was tons of snow in the forecast. I thought, I don't know if I'm going to get a shot, a better chance, because I was home at the time, to take a photo at Gary Point at sunset where there might be someone skating on the ice. And so I thought, I'm just going to go down there and see if anyone's down there skating. And sure enough, there was. There's a bit of snow on the ice, so the ice isn't great for hockey, but there was maybe three or four people out there skating. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to really try to isolate one person. There was kind of this, it was sort of dark, like because it was right around sunset.
This is already sunset.
Yeah. It's just that the sun is behind those clouds camera right. And so you don't get the true sunset that I was kind of hoping for, but I thought, oh, these clouds look sort of dark and ominous. And then this big pack of birds kept flying back and forth. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to see if I can get the birds as they go back and forth and isolate one skater. And I probably took about 10 photos of this guy. And he's not wearing a Canucks jersey, but it's the Canucks jersey colors. So I thought, all right, I want to him. I want to get him. And then, with some goofy name and some goofy thing on the back. So I was trying to pose, I was trying to catch him in an action shot where you couldn't see any of that. So I got lucky, a little lucky with getting the birds and then getting the guy stick handling. So he's kind of turned and his arm and shoulder are blocking the fact that it's not an actual Canucks jersey. And just cool clouds, cool time of day, and speaks to me as far as like, outdoor skating close to home.
Okay, here's the confusing part to me. I'm looking at what looks like his shadow casting to camera right. Is that his shadow?
Yeah, there is a little bit.
So where's that coming from? If the sun is indeed setting to the camera right, setting behind him.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's weird. I don't think that's where the sun is, or maybe it's just the brightness of this photo because he's skating around, right? So I took a bunch of photos. So maybe because
I'm faster than his shadow.
No, I'm lost as to where the sun and where the fishing needle is in this photo because this is kind of an isolated spot on the ice. So
in my head, he is basically skating towards the needle.
Yes, I think he is because of where that hill is. Yes, I think he is. So I think you're right. The sun is slightly to the left then.
Well, then I need to see what time this was taken. This is I'm sorry, everybody. This is a mystery we have to solve.
Okay.
No, this is 5:11. That's right. It looks like it was shot at sunset.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just confused about the orientation here. There's no way that like you're shooting. So that's in behind that little berm. There is the Fraser River, correct?
Yes, correct.
Where it meets the Pacific Ocean.
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, had you been standing on the other side shooting back, you would still see a little berm, maybe not, but that's where you're going to see what's that slough called there?
Oh yeah, I forget, but yes.
Something slough. Schwartz. Imagine if it's Schwartz Slough and you just forgot. There's no way it's that. But there's the little slough in behind, and so you would definitely see that. You'd see boats or whatever it is. So this I think you have your back to that, looking out that way, and then that would mean that the needle is to the left. I'm really confused. Is there a street light there or something?
No.
You got to figure out by next week what is causing that shadow.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
We do have some extra light there, and then it kind of tails off.
Well, I think at an angle, I am shooting towards the sun, but the sun is all obscured by all the clouds. So there's obviously a little bit leaking through, but yeah, the angle and the orientation of this. Yeah, that's right. Because if I turned around when the sun was out for a brief moment, I had to go to that other side and shoot back towards me. So I'm shooting towards the sun. So that makes sense. The shadow, it's just the angle and the orientation that this is shot is the sun is actually slightly camera left, not camera right.
Right, but you're essentially pointing the camera south. Southwest. From what I understand, you're shooting southwest and the sun setting in the west, it should be camera right. I don't understand how it is camera left.
Okay. All right, it's a mystery.
I think our listeners are going to have to go on Google Earth and have a look and figure this out. And I'm going to have a look too and see if I can pinpoint where this was, and based on that, the bench that I wish wasn't in the photo.
Yeah, I thought about photoshopping it out, and then I decided not to.
Yeah, no, laziness is always the best policy.
No, because there was like a recycling box that was kind of just beside that bench that I actually did Photoshop out, and then I elected to leave that in there just because it kind of places it like a park, right? Like it's
True. Yeah. You're right about that.
And so I thought, oh, I could take it out, but then I thought, well, then if I take it out, then this is almost like Alaska or something. Like I don't know where this is.
Mystery Alaska.
Whereas with the bench, they don't have benches in Alaska, so this isn't Gary Point
no
benches. Park.
No, Richmond. They can't get them up there.
Yeah, Richmond, BC.
That's true.
But it was just like what I like about the photo is really just the isolation. Like this photo just sort of says isolated, just the only one person on the ice. There's the birds out there. The clouds are sort of ominous. You can't really tell that the mountains are there. But for those that know the area at the very bottom, you know, you sort of see the bit of the mountains at the bottom. But it's just
okay. Whoa, which mountains are we talking about then?
I don't know. Aren't those the ones in
in America?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then okay. Then we're fine. I thought you were talking about the North Shore Mountains. And
No.
Okay. Whew. All right.
Wow. Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, like 40 minutes on just it's like we spun around and then just, hey, where are you? I don't know. No clue.
Right.
No, I really like this. The only thing that would have made it a little bit better is not on you. It would have been nice if there's a little bit more snow on the berm there. I'd like to have seen that like 100% white and then kind of going in. That's just me. But getting him on that side, like skating on that side of the image in that direction, lower thirds, we got the birds up in the top right with looks like a little motion blur to them, maybe, or that's just out of focus.
Yeah, I think it's just out of focus.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I would assume that getting isolating people generally in this situation is difficult because, you know, whenever there is the cold weather like this, which is rare, everyone gets out for a skate. So, good job. Now, did you know this? Did you talk to this guy? Did you know you're taking this picture?
No. Gosh, no. I just took this photo standing. Like, I was standing, I think, pretty far away. And I was just, I mean, there was, think about Richmond and when something unique like this happens and that, you know, there's snow and ice and people skating outdoors. There was far more people out there, just random people taking photos of the five or six people on the ice that I did not feel like if I was out there by myself and just standing there shooting this guy skating around, it would have been awkward. But there was, yeah, I would have said at least 10 people just kind of on their walk, just all stopped, mostly with their phones, a couple people with legitimate SLRs shooting photos of these people. So they were very aware and fine with it as far as I could tell. So he's getting famous. He'll get some royalties off this anyway, so.
Oh yeah, no question. Plus,
as soon as he sees it, yeah.
Like whatever he's got going here with the look on his face, he looks a little bit like if Napoleon Dynamite was skating.
Oh no,
a little bit. No.
Okay.
And the hat's a little bit goofy, so I know why you didn't want to talk to him. You didn't want to go talk to the guy because he does look a little bit goofy. So I don't know.
I'm not going to comment because we have
you know him?
Business. We have a business relationship.
You and him?
Yeah.
Do you really?
No.
Okay. Wait, I thought you don't know this guy.
I don't.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so I'm okay. That's the only reason I said he was goofy, because you don't know him.
Right.
All right, but you definitely win this week.
Yay!
Yeah, hey, Mike broke that 2-year streak right there. Yeah. No, it's the colors, too. I mean, the fake Canucks, that blue kind of matches up with generally with the clouds, but it still pops out. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on. This is the best one you've taken in quite some time.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
It's not going to make... No, that's a compliment. It's not going to make the Pixio app, though, I'll tell you that, unfortunately.
Okay, too bad. Maybe it could. I got to send it out there.
Yeah, don't worry. It's not going to. I've seen those pictures. They're really good.
Okay, I'll start. Yeah,
it's not your fault. It's not. This one is not your fault. You need a better sky, and that's just Mother Nature. So unless you're willing to replace it, unless you're willing to take the exact same shot in the summertime and then do like some sort of a weird juxtaposition, then maybe. But don't do that.
Okay,
that's my recommendation to you. Don't bother.
Thank you.
All right, topic. This week is your snow day. I want to talk about shooting the snow, what you did, how you shot, what your process was. Tell us about, because you did shoot some things interesting this week, even though we didn't talk about it earlier. What did you shoot interesting? What happened?
Well, we went down to the rink once we realized that school was canceled, and I realized that the traffic was horrible and I wasn't going to go to work.
This was Monday.
This was Wednesday.
Okay.
I didn't go to work on Monday, but I also, Wednesday was the snow day where the kids' school was canceled. Well, every school it seemed like was canceled on Wednesday. They still did go to school Monday. It was just the traffic was bad on Monday, so I didn't go.
Got ya.
So Wednesday we had the day to do snow things. So, texts start going off at about 7:30 in the morning because everyone's excited, like, oh, okay, you know, kids aren't going to school today. Like, what sort of stuff could we do? And really quickly it said, well, let's all head to Gary Point Park and see if we can skate on the ice. And so we knew it had snowed a ton. So we kind of arranged with a bunch of people that we play hockey with and friends and kids to go out there around 10:30, bring shovels and start, you know, shoveling off some snow to create enough space to play. So we did that and we were there. There was maybe, I don't know, five or six other people there with the same idea at that point. And then as we started shoveling and making some ground as far as clearing space to play, more and more people started showing up with shovels and it became kind of like a community event. But we made ourselves a rink enough for the kids to play on. And then I just, as soon as they started skating around and playing, I just started snapping photos. So I took the 70-200 and the 6D. And I just snapped for, I don't know, probably 20 minutes. So it was so cold. My hands froze and I didn't have my Thinsulate gloves because my wife had taken them to work to shovel with at work. So I didn't have those. So I had hockey gloves or I had bare hands. And so hockey gloves are not functional for shooting photos with, or that's what I found. So I went with the bare hands and didn't last very long. So the photos I posted, because I hadn't asked for a bunch of people's permission, were just really of my kid. There's one of Jack's friends that has shown up in many photos and from baseball in years past, and hockey, I think, as well. But Jack got a Connor McDavid jersey for Christmas, and so he's showcasing it here. It's fun for those who don't play outdoor hockey. It's kind of, in my mind, a rule that you kind of got to wear a jersey if you go play outdoor hockey. You don't have to wear equipment, but you got to wear a jersey. So Jack's wearing his McDavid jersey, and I like just the colors just kind of pop. It's the same setting as the one before, but obviously at a very different time of day. So it's overcast, it's a whiteout, and so I'm just really kind of exposing for the subject. And the subject on the white background, almost like shooting white background stuff in the studio, it really, the background, you kind of get where it is, but the subject really pops with the contrast and the colors.
Okay, so if left to its own devices, the camera's probably going to underexpose this, right? It's just gonna sort of see that white, want to maintain those white levels, kind of bring it down. It won't make it gray necessarily, but kind of a light gray is usually what happens. And so you get an underexpose on your subject. How did you go about exposing for the subject?
A couple of test shots. I basically, I'm always in manual mode. So my first thought was shutter speed, because they're going to be skating around pretty fast. So I start with figuring out, okay, if I'm going to need, you know, an IS, or I'm going to need a shutter speed of probably somewhere around 1/1600th of a second to 1/2000th of a second, something in that range. And then I basically go from there. And I'm at F4, so I'm F4 because that's the lens, that's as wide as I can make it. So I go F4, 1600 of a second, or 1/1600.
Careful, and then careful. This sounds almost like Exifoku, so be careful.
Yeah, and then I work backwards to, okay, where does the ISO need to be if I'm at those variables already chosen? So
about 1600, I would guess.
Yes.
Okay, that's, yeah, that seems
might have been right. Might have been 1,000, but yeah, somewhere in that range, yeah. For 10:30 on an overcast day, yeah, I don't know if it was quite ISO 1600, but you're close.
Never correct me. Never correct me.
Sorry. Can you look at the EXIF data and tell me?
Actually, I will. I did not yet. Exposure time 1/1600th, ISO 800 on like the one of your sun.
There you go.
So there you go. All right, but technically not 1/2000th of a second, which would have bumped it up closer to 1,000 ISO. So we're close.
So we're both right. We're both right.
Well, you're a little bit more right than I am.
So the pictures are just, you know, my kids skating around that I posted, because I didn't want to have all these other bystanders. There's quite a lot of people there, but I remember you were talking about the Space Needle, and so I did include a picture of Jack's buddy who's positioned just so that I can get the Space Needle sort of, it's very blurry and in the background, but you can kind of see that, oh, that's clearly Gary Point. And, and then there's one of, Jack and myself that, a friend of ours took. So I handed him the camera and I didn't coach him too much. I just basically put the settings in, and then he took one where he was more level, and then he took one where he kind of crouched down, the one that I'm posting here. And I just like the crouch down one. It sort of brings us above sort of like where the trees are in the background. And it's it's a good perspective. So good job on him. That wasn't coached at all. That was just his move. And I love that he left enough headroom and foot room here. So yeah, good job.
That's actually a very great, that's one of the better handoffs I've ever seen.
I was impressed too. And he only took three photos, and I just said, yeah, that's good. I showed him back button. I showed him back button focus. Oh, no problem. Man. Yeah.
That guy is a flying unicorn, man. Like those don't exist in public. Like I remember, like just to bring this back to me, nothing to do with hockey at all. This was when I was shooting down a couple years ago down in Italy and met Mr. Ferrari, Enzo Ferrari's son. And we're interviewing him, and afterwards, the guys I was with wanted their picture with Mr. Ferrari, so I snapped their photo with my camera. And then I turned to the director of photography, the main guy who was in charge of shooting this all these interviews. I said, "Hey, can you snap one of me and Mr. Ferrari?" "Yeah, no problem." I said, "Hey, like, do you know about back button focus?" Yeah, of course, mate, of course." Snaps the photo. Mr. Ferrari leaves, and he says to me, "Hey, what did you mean by back button focus?" And I was like, "Oh, what I meant was get a picture of me and Mr. Ferrari that's sort of in focus, a little bit, but not quite. That's what I meant."
Right.
So thanks. So the fact that you can explain back button focus to not a director of photography, a guy who just seems to be hanging around the rink with nothing to do, that's fantastic. And the framing's great, and like the angle. Like, did he decide to squat down and shoot that?
Yeah, oh, all him.
Man, maybe I should do a show with him. I think you're out.
Okay, pass it along. Yeah.
No, I like this one, and what I really especially like about like the one of say you and your son is obviously the big smiles. That's great. We have context in behind. We have pixels that are blown out as they should be. Like that's bright back there. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, like your faces are very well exposed. You probably could stop down a third or 2/3 of a stop on your faces. Why would you? Like this is where it should be. I like the fact that it's right at that tone. Everything else is falling into place exactly where it should be. We got nice colors that are popping. Did you set the white balance? Did you fix it in post?
No, I just fixed it in post. I didn't set it. It was just auto.
Okay. Yeah. So look, like I usually, in this case, I would use an eyedropper. and just you either drop it somewhere on the snow, which you have to have something that's not blown out, or just on the A or the stripe on your jersey is supposed to be white. So that's a good way to sort of set the white balance later. Once you've shot raw, then you're all good to go. So in general, like great shots. I mean, a little bit tighter than I would like, because I would like to see a lot more of it, because it's such an amazing environment. But I understand, like, once you do back out a little bit, you introduce a lot of other people.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. So I do have some of those photos. Again, didn't want to post any of those photos because there's it's all of Richmond was there. So
yeah,
I and there was people snow shoveling. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I was really just trying to make it a little bit more isolated on my kid and his friends. Yeah.
Yep. Which understandable. Like I said, it would be nice if everyone would just leave you alone so you could take pictures. Because that's one of the reasons that I was, a little bit homesick this week, because that would be a good time out there. Just being out there with in that community and that setting is unlike any other for outdoor hockey.
Yeah, and what was awesome was, the ice still, I guess because of all the snow, and the snow is acting as an insulator, even though we got really cold temperatures, the ice started to crack in places. So you see in one of the photos, there's a snow pile covering up a crack. And then so the kids probably lasted, I'm going to say, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something in that range. Like I took my skates off and my feet were frozen well before, but they were really kind of, playing. And so they were happy and stayed pretty warm. But the ice started to crack in places. So the adults were trying to shovel to create bigger space. And at the same time, the ice is cracking and water's coming through. And so it's getting smaller. And so they're basically just fighting to keep the rink the same size. So the rink's getting smaller and smaller and smaller with all the little holes that they're punching through it. But it was pretty neat to see, and how long they lasted, considering how freezing and our toes and our fingers were. I was impressed by that. So that reminded me of being a kid and playing on outdoor rink and just never wanting to come in. So I was not going to call them in. It was when they completely had it, that's when we were going to stop.
And this is actually a field that has been flooded by the fire departments. This isn't a pond or a river that they're going to fall through.
No, so it's only
water's annoying, not deadly.
Yeah, it's a foot deep. So yeah, if when you punch a hole through it, you could get your foot through it. But
if you do fall through the ice and drown, you are the worst.
Yeah, you're not a good swimmer.
Yeah you'll be in the paper for sure. You'll be not in a good way. So yeah, like the photos. My one question though, it's all the kids. Why the masks and the helmets?
I think that it's just one of those things now that everybody is so concussion sort of conscious. It's just like they're, and they are going down. Like Jack caught, you see how much snow is on their pants in these photos. They are in a small proximity doing all kinds of tight moves with sticks, and they are going down. And I saw a number of them go down pretty hard, including Jack. And he went straight back onto his butt, didn't smack his head off the ice or anything, but I think it's just now one of those things that I personally would be completely fine without it, but it's almost like you would be shamed if you did. And of course the parents aren't, we're not wearing helmets or anything, and we're doing the same thing. It's just that they all have helmets, and no kid is protesting about putting the helmet on. And so do we need them to get a stick in the face or to fall back and smack their head on the ice? Nobody wants any of that.
Well, the falling back and smacking your head, that's the bummer. You don't want that one. Everything else I don't see. The stick in the face, I don't know. Just kids aren't that good looking. I mean, come on.
I hear what you're saying. And like I said, when I was a kid, it wasn't even a question. You would never wear a helmet for something like this. Yeah, you would wear a toque, and that's sort of all.
Beanie? What do you call it in America? Beanie? It's not called a toque.
In America, I think they call it a beanie. Here beanie, we call it a toque. Yeah.
Here in Germany, this is ein Mütze, but toque. It's just a T-O-C-Q-U-E, toque. Is there a C in there? Did I just add a C?
No, you added a C. No
T-O-Q,
C.
T-O-Q-U-E.
Yeah.
No, and as I can see in your picture, you're wearing a toque. That's what you're supposed to be wearing, toque.
Right.
And not sure if it's supposed to be the Habs, but on the West Coast anyways. So anyway, that was it. I see it when the kids and they go public skating and they have the masks on and stuff like that too. It kind of weirds me out a little bit, but I guess that's you know, the world we live in.
And it's not, and the masks are because the kids play hockey and the mask's already on their helmet. So,
right. You
know, they, like Sarah, never playing hockey, never had a mask going public skating. So that part's just, it's more of a hassle to take it off and put it back on.
Yeah, buy him a Jofa.
Okay. All right.
That's what my kid's going to wear when I bought him a hockey helmet. He doesn't play hockey though. That's the difference. But that's my other suggestion is go down to the used hockey place. They have a number of helmets they sell for about $5, used helmets, that are not certified anymore for actual hockey. You could wear them for drop-in for something like this, no mask.
I'll let them know.
Don't tell your wife because I know she'll freak out. So, all right. Like I said, a little homesick. Wish I was there. Hope the snow melts soon because I'm like that.
Okay.
Monthly challenge for next month is self-portrait. See, I was hoping you took yours out there at Gary Point, but I guess if you haven't done it yet. Hashtag that. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. Challenge for next week. I said black and white. I want to shoot more of that. So unless you have something better right now.
Wait, I have something better.
I doubt it.
No, I do.
Okay, go.
And this maybe this is an upcoming topic if you're looking for topic ideas.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Born ready.
Okay. Go back, find an old photo that you've taken and in RAW and re-edit it.
Okay.
Like redo it. Edit different.
No photography this month, only post for this week. I mean.
Sure. A post. And the reason I bring it out, and I think this is a good topic, is that my wife decided that she wanted to make some, you know, some of the books for the kids, and we haven't made them for a couple of years, but of course I've got the photos from years past. And so she said, oh, I want to do 2015. So I said, okay. So I went back into photos from 2015 and I had a lot of photos were, you know, still in RAW, and I started going through and just kind of playing those. Some of them I'd already edited, but then I decided like I wanted to edit them differently. And I thought this is a good thing to do. And a lot of times now my kids don't want to be, my daughter especially doesn't want to be involved in me taking any photos anymore. So I really enjoy going back and looking at those old photos, but actually going back and editing them from RAW in Lightroom is quite fun as well. So
Lightroom has gotten better. Your computer has gotten better and you have gotten better.
All of the above. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, And there was one photo I think I'm going to use in particular because it was used on the show years ago. It was a photo that I printed. I'm not going to give it away, but it was a photo I printed as well. And it was all done in black and white. And then when I was looking at it, I was like, I think I might actually like this better in color, even though it's one of my favorite photos. But like for all those reasons you described, the tools are better. I did it in color and I thought this is better, I think. So anyways. Teaser alert, it's fun to do that, and we'll talk about it at some point.
Probably next week, based on what you just said. It's funny because I have a picture that's on my wall that is in color. I still want it to be in color, but I'm looking at it and thinking, you know what? I can do much better on the post-processing there. So I've always been meaning to go back and do that. Now I have a reason to do it.
Excellent.
So that's it. Challenge for next week, and it's going to be the topic. There you go.
Okay.
Or we do a whole show on the Astros cheating.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do Don't rip my shirt. Don't rip my shirt. Oh, man. You haven't even seen that yet, have you? Okay. We'll talk after the show. All right. Challenge next week is repost a RAW. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. No Cialis anymore, so if you want to find your Canadian Cialis, go somewhere else. Got that cleared up. And the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.